Second verse, same as the first. Yeah, another Linux Link Tech Show.
One that we're all here at.
That's right. Yeah, we're actually in studio, in Studio B this evening. Anyway, this is Link.
I'm Alan.
Dan
is here. And we are the Linux Link Tech Show. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
We are Penn State.
I'm just kidding. Now, this is actually show 66. That's a whole lot. 66.
It'll be kind of like Route 66. Wait till we get the 666th episode.
Yeah.
That's when hell freezes.
Which won't be long. It's just another 600 weeks, right, guys?
Only 600.
Only 600. Okay, everybody. We're going to take a quick prep break. Listen to this. We'll be right back.
It's only 12 more years to go. Come on.
Something like that.
Have you ever met a guy and wondered what might happen? Thought about the possibilities? Asked yourself, what if? Hi, I'm Brittany. What's your name? You smell like feet. Beef and cheese. That's so hot. He's got no job. Here's my account number. Are those Marlboro Reds? Let's get some Cheetos. And chain smoke. Sideways Yankees hat. That armpit stained wife beater. I think he's sexy. He hasn't showered in weeks. Or seen his kids. Deadbeat dad. I think I'm falling for him. Did he just climb out of a dumpster? He can't keep his eyes off of me. Or my ATM card. Close your eyes. What's that smell?
Fetterline, the newest fragrance from Britney Spears.
You're stinky.
Available at trailer parks everywhere.
I'm Leon Pennington from the UK, and while I'm staying out of the rain, I listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Hi, I'm Matti from Finland, and I'm listening to the Linux Link Tech Show, and I'm...
How'd that happen?
Some gun cut right off. Hit the button a little too fast, you know? You do that every now and then. Anyway.
We're rolling back to the 80s here with this music.
Yeah, we're rolling back to the 80s. No, I had a couple people ask me about playing Penguin Planet. You remember that? It's one of the ARG files that they included in the like the original NAPEX CD.
Yeah, I remember that one. Like this, though.
And what's that? Yeah, this is it, man.
This is it?
Yeah.
I have the so Penguin I figured Planet I'd, without the music.
I figured I'd play it with you know, a little background music tonight or something. Yeah. Anyway.
I got to get out the glow stick now.
Yeah! Glow stick, and you can twirl it around and hit
Linux
people with
Link
it or something.
Rave.
Linux Link Rave Show. Anyway, people, hi. I'm Link again. And this is our, what is the date today anyway?
January 12th.
Yeah, 66th episode of January, Wednesday, January 12th, 2005.
2005. Another year gone.
Yeah, that's right. One more year with the tech show. This is three years, right?
This is going on our third, yeah.
This is our third year.
We're still in our first year. We're in our second year.
We have spanned 3 years at this point.
Chronologically,
yeah. Well, that's what
year
I'm getting
wise
at.
We started, but not 3 years worth of shows.
But we've spanned 3 years, so it just makes it sound, you know, more impressive years. When you can say, you know, we've been doing this for the last 3 years. Well, the last 2 years.
We're so old.
I think I'm going to make some Britney.
Yeah.
I missed Britney. That smell last week.
I should have fed the dog some sausages or something before you stopped over.
Feed Alan some sausages.
Fixed your
radio. You fed Alan a sausage, didn't you? Oh.
All right, well, at least we're not talking about the weather, which is, you know.
Shitty.
Raining as always.
It's foggy, man.
Pennsylvania's really, really foggy. Really, really foggy. And I'm sure you're all interested in that. As much as I am, however, this is the Linux Link Tech Show. So let's hear
Which means we should talk right away about the new Apple Mini.
Yes! I want one of those.
Because nothing screams Linux and open source like the Apple Mini.
Hey, well, Apple just released their Mac Mini, which is a sub-$500 PPC machine. Comes with a 1.2 gigahertz PPC G4 processor, 128 mega RAM, 40 gig hard drive, DVD / CD rewritable.
You got it memorized, man.
Yes, because I want one of these really bad. Form factor is a tiny little box, 2 inches high by 6.5 inches by 6.5 inches, and one of them babies is going to be sitting on my desk. Someday soon, as soon as I become
now,
rich.
Now, you're convinced that this is going to tear the ass out of Microsoft.
I bet they're going to feel... I don't know if it's going to tear them up, but I bet you they're going to feel it. Because signs are pointing... First of all, signs are pointing real heavy that Microsoft is going to run into a lot of problems soon because there's not going to be any major advancements anymore in Intel architecture. Okay? Intel architecture crap is getting cheap. It's not developing as fast as it used to anymore. And the big name people like IBM are not doing Intel anymore. They're pushing PPC. Now you got Apple coming out with these nifty ass little PPC machines. In order to compete, Microsoft is going to have to really grab their hind end and run for the money and try and get some of their stuff working on PPC. But, you know, there again, for the same price point as Microsoft OS, on PPC, you have OS X, which many, many techie, geeky-type people are currently enjoying.
Now, see, when I first saw OS X, I'm like, wow, this is just going to devastate Microsoft. It hasn't happened yet, but hopefully
with PPC hardware becoming more readily available and at a normal user's price point, I believe that that's going to take a bite out of crime, so to speak.
And I'm going to see if I can convince my neighbors into buying one, because we had just had a talk about that with them. And I mentioned this at a meeting yesterday.
Right.
And, you know, I said, well, you got to buy X, Y, and Z and all this other stuff. But now they won't. The only thing they'd have to probably buy is a new printer, because it's parallel port. And
plus,
it's about time they bought one.
About time they got one.
And plus, for geeky guys like us, I'm going to get one. I'm sure it'll run Linux. I bet right now it'll run.
But why wouldn't it?
There is no reason. You know, standard Apple hardware. Apple hardware, they make Apple hardware to their own specifications. And if it runs on one G4, boy, it should run on another G4.
Should run on all of them, yeah.
So I'm just, you know, I'm just beside myself waiting to get this
thing
and
try
it.
He's trying to figure out what he can sell.
Yeah, I'm like selling, you know, I'm ready to sell a leg or something.
He's got his wife and kid up
plasma.
On eBay.
So,
finally, yeah, plasma.
Blood plasma. We're going to have a blood plasma drive. It's a donate money to Link so we can get his Mac Mini.
We'll put a PayPal, little PayPal button on your
should do that. But, oh, yeah, I want one. And plus, you know, the fact is really that I need a new desktop computer soon anyway. Something that's slightly faster than my 950 megahertz Duron. And, you know, a 1.2 gigahertz PPC is slightly faster. Plus, it's, you know, they run a lot cleaner. But it's a lot neater. So, you know.
My only complaint about PPC is great. But once you start playing around with the i386, the Intel architecture, you get accustomed to, like, having Flash. And you'd be able to use the code, the video codecs, but you can't use them on the PPC yet. Which bums me out.
Yeah. But, you know, there again, with this new low price point, a good-looking little PPC machine coming out, perhaps there'll be some more and increased development work for Linux and a PPC. I'm betting there will. You know, and not just Linux either, but, you know, we always advocate things like FreeBSD and stuff like that. And I'm betting that they're, you know, NetBSD is going to really jump on this bandwagon too. And that'd be cool. That'd be most cool.
Man, the fan blasting out of this Intel box over here sounds like a jet's going by. I'm like, is that on this stream? What the heck?
I was trying to figure out if it was like my machine or something.
It's like it's echoing in the room.
Yeah.
It's like you're in a wind tunnel.
Yeah.
That's classic.
Yeah.
That's pure classic.
Awesome.
Intel architecture. 12 fans.
It goes. By the way,
you got to water cool them now, too.
Yeah. I know that you've been doing some Ubuntu stuff, and you're probably going to want to talk about that.
Oh, I got plenty of Ubuntu but commentary time.
I got a question for you real quick.
Flame away.
What box were you using with your Ubuntu install?
Right down there. I snagged a box from work to give it a test.
Oh,
drive.
This one that I can take home.
the one we were eyeing up to take home.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you want to take it home. I think it's hardware problems.
I thought that was. Well, that's okay. I can fix hardware problems, and I thought this was my.
I think it's the hardware problems with integrated hardware.
I thought this was my take home pile over here.
No, your take home pile's in the garbage can over there. And Alan, you can take whatever's in the kitty litter box.
Oh, no, dude, this is a.
I've got my own one.
Yeah. This is a P3.
It is.
I can play with that, sure.
Uh-huh. No, I think the next step... Well, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Okay.
That's...
trying to put his computer back. It's falling over now.
I like that. C.A. Swanson says, I have one of those fans that go... I have one of those fans, too, until I stuck a... Oh, come on. I can't... What is it called? A tie wrap.
Oh, tie
in there. I just
tie
stuck wrap? It through there to stop it from spinning because I just didn't want to disconnect it. So I stuck the tie wrap through there and tied it up so it couldn't spin it out. It doesn't go, anymore. It's that one right there. It makes such a god-awful noise.
Pathetic,
I'm sick of it.
Yeah, I've got one that, like, it's quiet most of the time, but every once in a while it just, like, gets off-center or something. But it's, like, it wakes you up in another room. I go over and like hit the box a little bit, and it's done with.
Oh yeah, that's the favorite trick to get them to stop. You just go whack the damn box, you know. My fan was going on. I'm like kicking my computer. My wife's like, what the hell are you doing?
Well, making it damn why it's going up. Slower now. Maybe it's slightly overheating. Who knows?
Could be. Yeah.
That's why it was dropping the stream.
Oh man, I can only take that for like a week, and then I'm out. You know, fan shopping.
We used to have this a DeskJet printer at work on that sounded like a 747 every time you said that thing. It was like this is like just one of these days it was going to explode before we got it, but unfortunately.
Well, you should hear my printer, man. I got a big DeskJet at home.
Big. When you print, your lights dim, don't
yeah,
they?
No, it's just not when
off.
I print. It's
Mine
when it,
does, too.
It cycles to heat up the like the heating element. It's a laser printer. So when it cycles and the heating element kicks on, my lights dim in my house. It's hysterical. I mean, it's not enough to really, like, you know, hurt anything or, you know, it's noticeable.
They flicker.
Yeah. The lights flicker and
your neighborhood flickers.
No, for like 2 or 3 days, I'm trying to figure out, like, what the hell is that, you know? And then finally I connected it, would turn in the damn printer on. You turn the printer on, and when the printer's on, it's like every 10 or 12 seconds. The lights just flick real quick.
My only does it when I actually send a print over on it. You can tell as long whenever anybody's printing on it, the lights will be flickering all over the house.
It's just nasty.
And that's a DeskJet too, right?
Yeah, that's that little one I got from.
Is it from who?
The one I got out of your trunk.
You got a printer out of
Dan's
my trunk?
Parts store.
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Dan's like, okay, yeah, whatever. You never know what you're gonna find in Dan's
4L.
Trunk.
Somebody got a UPS out of my trunk, too.
I got a UPS.
Is that working good?
Yeah, it is. It works pretty good.
Good. You remember those when Home Depot had those UPS? It's really cheap.
Yep.
My battery's dead on that one.
Is it really?
Yeah, I bought two of them.
New batteries for them.
I bought two of them, but then I sold it to Dan Altieri. So I was like, boo.
Hope you made some money off the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know. I forget what I sold it to him for.
Who knows?
They bought this for $35.95, and I'll let you have it for $457.
Speaking of, I got to
get over
there.
Which is, you know, the price of the thing plus installation. Yeah.
Always got to add in installation.
Does yours still work? With the Bulldog software still work?
Yeah.
After a while, mine, like, I've moved up to 2.6 kernels, and so I never worked after that.
Dude, I have three of them, man. They work great.
On the 2.6 kernels?
I might not be running a 2.6 kernel on the machines that they're on, so. I don't remember. I can check, though. I thought my main workstation is a 2.6.
I just listen for that to go beep, 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 beep. Go upstairs.
Once a day.
Yeah. Kids are like, what's that noise? Who's backing up?
Mine did that for a while, and it just sort of like stopped. So either it's doing it during the day when I'm not home, or it just gave up warning me about the battery being low.
All right, well, I'm going to assume that mine's working then because mine don't beep at me. I get like really annoyed with them if they start beeping. I just shut them off. So. Either that or you got to, you know, crawl through there and find a little buzzer and rip it off.
Well, I think it's like a self-test it goes through. Like once a day it does a self-test.
Mom was doing it like once an hour. So I don't think it was a self-test. And then I come up and stuff be shut off.
I think it was...
You have to plug them back in.
Oh, my Lord, I'm dying test.
They get annoying.
New name, dash A. No, I'm only running 2.4.2.6.
Yeah, for some reason mine wouldn't work anymore, the software. I got sick of it. The heck with it. I got some better things to do than worry about whether my machine's going to go down, right?
A little something-something.
Mm-hmm. Go somewhere else.
Something like that.
So what else is on the topic before I start rambling on?
What else
about
is on it? I wanted to say GNU MP3D. Let me hit the website for that so I can tell you all about it.
And what's that new show? Linux.
I just was at it, too.
Who are you talking about there, Alan?
The Linux Box show, I think it was?
Yeah, Linux Box.
Did they got that running yet? I didn't even check them out.
Well, the first episode was released. The Linux Box.
The Linux Box show.
And it's at thelinuxbox.org. Show. I'm going to post the URL in just a second. Dun, dun, dun,
yeah,
dun,
that's
dun.
What Dan's going to do. I'm going to post the URL for GNU MP3D. Why, you say? Because I just started playing with it, and it's cool. It's awesome.
I posted my URL first. Linuxbox.org/showphp. I really look forward to listening to it. They stream it, and they also have the download file, which is an OGG, and that's great. Unfortunately, I can't play OGG on the iPod because damn, my iPod doesn't support it. So maybe it's time to switch to a new media player, one that supports OGG. And then when Link drives up, the next time I'll throw the iPod at him out the second story window and say, here's your damn iPod, and smashes on the floor.
You've got a 3G, so you can put Linux on that. You got a third generation, right?
I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, I think yours is a third generation, so you can put Linux on there.
And then will it play OGG files?
I don't know. It doesn't work for me yet, so I haven't been able to try it.
What doesn't work for you? Your iPod?
Well, yeah, because I have the fourth generation, and the Linux for the iPod only works for the third generation.
Because Apple keeps switching stuff around.
Yeah, I think it's got a different processor in it, so they can't do it.
All right. Well, anyway,
it's got an Intel processor.
I'm reading the Linux Box website thing about their show. It says first episode of the Linux Box. By the way, I talked with this guy back and forth in email a little bit, and he sent some stuff.
He has a link to our show
to
on there.
Yes, and he has a link to our show. Which we'll probably
I'm going to put a link on
it. Yeah. And I really need to put a link for that extra stream, too, that's running.
Should I add the link, or should I replace Slug Radio?
I would say replace Slug Radio. They're done. They're not doing anything anymore, so... So I would say on the OSS page, replace Slug Radio with the Linux Box, and hopefully he will keep going. Even though I have not listened to his first show, he sent a bunch of stuff for me to listen to, and all of it was really good. So I wholeheartedly advocate that you check it out, and maybe I can even sneak a couple clips in here because I'm downloading it right now. So that'd be cool. But check this out. I was playing with GNU MP3D, and I did post the link in there in the IRC chat log. And I know, what are you using, Alan, to do that? GNU MP3 is a streaming MP3, or a streaming media server. Okay, I'm not going to say MP3 because it does MP3s, OGs, and movies. And you're using what?
Good question, because I haven't used it in a while. It's a mod Perl thing.
Yeah, you had to go in and like add all that crap into Apache and all that happy.
Yeah, I had to
horse
add
Pucky
mod,
and all this.
Mod Perl into Apache.
See, now that the reason I always stayed away from that because that sounded a little bit too convoluted for me. And Perl and I, you have to understand, Perl and I do not get along. Right? Like I don't get along with CPAN. None of that. That just doesn't work for me. I think if you download the program, that like everything should be in it. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily fit with the philosophy of some Perl programs. But this GNU MP3D program, which is a Perl program, I figured, you know, all right, I'm going to try it.
Apache MP3 module is what I'm doing.
I figured I'm going to try this because, number one, it's its own server, right? You don't have to install anything. You don't even have to have Apache running, right? You don't have to install any crap in Apache. It's its own server. It's supposed to run pretty much right out of the box with anybody that runs Perl, right? Or any Unix system that runs Perl. There's a couple extra things that you got to have going, I guess, for Windows to run it. But so I figured, all right, I'm going to try it. You know, it's not going to kill me to try. I went through, I grabbed the package, which, like I said, is Perl, and the entire installation instructions are untar it, go into the directory and type make install.
That's cool.
Right? And then you have to go into the etsy GNU MP3D directory and edit the GNU MP3D.conf file, which is really, really well commented. And the only thing I had to change in there, literally, was where the directory where my media files were. Okay. That's it. Okay? And then you start it up. You know, you type this little command line. You type the command line thing up, or you can put it in your RC local file or whatever the hell. You start it up, it indexes your files for like, you know, 10 or 15 seconds, and it's running. And then you hit the port that you have it running on, which is by default 8888, and bam, it's up and it runs. And it runs really good. It runs fast. It's got like neat little features like random playlist generation and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Like, I was really, really impressed with it. In fact, when I left the house, my wife was playing with it. It was pretty cool. And then, you know, I thought about, well, Dan actually thought about first using it for the show. And what a good idea that was, because the more I look at it, the more it has things like, reports. You know what I mean? Like usage reports, what's the most popular thing that's been listened to or streamed and, you know, that sort of thing. And I think it's just cool. Yeah.
I'll have to try it.
So check it. Yeah, I will check try it.
Because I'm going to be rebuilding that machine soon.
It's way, way easier than like going through, you know, httpd.conf and making sure that Apache has the mod Perl whatever hell crap stuff.
Well, that was the hard. That was the most complicated part about doing that, you know, because I don't install a lot of software on it, but putting mod Perl on there. Which wasn't hard to do. I mean, it's only a couple commands to compile and everything. The Apache MP3 module went in there pretty easy. So that one's not a real hard one to do, but this one sounds neater, too.
I like it. And it's got different themes with it and stuff.
Okay.
You know, you can go through and pick them based on your... It's really neat.
Cool.
Exodix, yeah, on the chat says... When will TLLTS have an ice cast?
What?
What the hell is he talking about? Are you not listening to us now, dude? Hello? All right.
Wow.
every now and then we get, you know, we get real interesting stuff like that. When will our show have an ice cast? If you're listening to us, that's because we have an ice cast. So, you know.
Yeah, that's real. I don't get that. I'm confused. WD?
Something.
I don't know. When will we have... I don't know. When will we have an ice cast? 2 years ago?
How about 2 years ago, yeah. Whew, that's a good one. Yeah.
Finally confused Dan, it said.
Huh? Confused Dan. I was looking. What the hell is he talking about?
Alan.
What are you going to do? Wait. What we got here? That's a familiar sounding intro, isn't it?
Sounds like a 70s porn movie.
This is, yeah, it's the Fenster. Leon Scape got it right. This is the Fenster version of the Free Software song. And it's also the introduction to the new show, the Linux Box show. Which is, of course, where I'm playing it from. Right. That's pretty neat. Trying to see if he's going to do an introduction or something that we can play. Most people don't play the entire, you know, 4 minute song before they do their introduction. Could be wrong here.
Well, we go through 4 minutes of our introduction sometimes.
Yeah, well, ours at least, you know, plays over and over and over again. We can break it in different places. The little phone and modem thing, that's not in a Fenster song. Maybe we're getting close to an intro. Oh, Leon Skick says, yes it is. I take your word for it, man.
The Linux Box show is supported in part by the LinuxBox.org. The Linux Box is your news source for the FOSS community. The Linux Box, the choice of a new generation. And the Linux Box show is supported by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. It is January the 11th, 2005, and this is the premiere episode of the Linux Box show. Tonight's big headline is Mozilla Firefox as it continues to erode Internet Explorer's stranglehold on the web. Considering the particularly geeky nature of my target audience, I can probably make a safe assumption that everyone is already aware of how Firefox came to be the premier browser of the open source world.
Oh, yes, I did listen to this.
Just entertain me and listen as I spin.
Yeah, I did listen to this. Everybody get this stuff and listen to it because it's good. So, rather than, you know, play his entire show on our show, let's just, you know, play our show.
Yeah.
Or something. Dan's over there, like, compiling crap again.
Nah, I was just changing our web.
I heard you clicky and crap over there.
Compiling.
Clicky.
Nope.
He can't help it, man. You know, it's like an addiction or something.
No.
It's textual night. What can I compile?
What new things can I compile?
Can I change the stream? Straight on?
Huh? Can you change the stream?
I don't know. Can he change the stream? Well, listen, it's like 21:04.
That's 9 o'clock.
Exactly, 9 o'clock.
All right, I got the Linux box up on the web.
Did you? Oh, cool.
On our site.
And I wanted to play, you know, since we've already been playing everybody else's stuff anyway, I wanted to play our musical selection.
Cool.
For the evening.
Good evening.
And I also wanted to mention... Good evening.
Hurry up, because we got to get to the Gentoo stuff.
Shut up. Nobody wants to hear you. Go compile.
Of course they do. That's
go,
why they're all
go,
here.
Go compile
hear
something.
The
well, that's
stuff.
Why I'm doing everything first, because, you know, it's like the show clincher. I want everybody to listen to the rest of the show first. So shut up. Anyway, I was looking around for some kind of music to play on the show, as is my habit and my job, I guess. And searching through archives.org.
You mean your job at
archive.
Work?
Archive.show. Give me something to throw in.
Pick anything on the desk.
I don't want to lose my soda. You know. No, so I go to archive.org and I'm checking through. You hands me this little plastic thing. Go to archive.org and I'm checking through, and I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this before, but like there is some really shitty music on there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some stuff is really, really bad. And it took me, boy, I bet an hour just to find something that I could stand to play on the show. And this is what I came up with. Band's name is Sinister Dexter.
Nice and, name.
Yeah. And you'll like it too, because it's really like a band. And the title of this song is Another Drink.
I'll have a drink.
And there you have it, while I was not paying attention and laughing at Dan. That is Sinister Dexter's Another Drink. And I know it's kind of like, you know, a mellow sort of thing.
You were laughing. We were laughing together. But, you were laughing at. Yeah. You were laughing with.
It's a mellow kind of song, but it was pretty good. So
yeah, I enjoyed it, actually.
Yeah, see, there you go. You have the Fessenden and Metzler thumb of approval.
I liked it, too. It was nice, mellow, yeah. Relaxing. Sit back and...
Pretty cool.
Enjoy a nice Yingling with that. Or get
yeah,
it.
There you go. Now you're talking. Or
fire up a good, nice cigar.
35-year-old Irish whiskey. Is,
yes. The Irish whiskey and the cigar. That'll do me right there.
Get a little half and half from Alan.
No.
Oh, we covered that last week. I'm sorry. Oh, should we roll right on to Ubuntu?
Yeah, man. That's
Ubuntu. Now, I've been, as some people have said, whoring Ubuntu out for the past couple of months now. And decided that it's finally time to take Ubuntu for a test drive in the Intel architecture as a desktop user. And by desktop user, I mean somebody who... You know, knows how to use a mouse.
Doesn't have a clue.
Knows how to use, you know, some basic computer skills. Can surf the internet, can get their email, can run a word processing application. Maybe has installed an application or two before on some operating system.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm gearing myself towards. Which is not, you know, trying to put myself in their position. Which was really hard, by the way. Trying not to try and get under the hood and see how things were working or make things work a little better, to just let the system flow and let myself work with the system instead of, you know, trying to bypass things and say, well, maybe it'll work a little better. You get my gist. Taking all my Linux experience and putting it to the side for a little bit and just running like a desktop user and seeing what some of the pitfalls would be. Now, I'm using the Wardy version of Ubuntu. The intention here is not at all to factor in the install. Okay? Install was just a basic install. Stage 2 was the update software. It asked if you want to update. I did the update, so I just had a basic install of Ubuntu. So I'm not going to review the Ubuntu install. That's for somebody else. I'm looking at this as a system that you might want to give to your parents, a neighbor, a friend, or recommend to somebody. And chances are, as a desktop user, you're not going to install your own operating system.
Wait, you got to make some comment about the install.
No, I'm not making a comment about the install.
Then you have to.
No.
Because you're trying to say, as an average Joe, is this something an average Joe user could do?
Average Joe user probably couldn't install Windows either.
No, but is this something that, you know, comparatively speaking?
No.
No.
I don't think an average Joe would be able to install any operating system.
All right.
That's
slightly
the average Joe.
Technically inclined average Joe.
The average Joe. Well, you know, I don't want to review the installer because I'm basing this off of this is a computer a desktop user sits down with. Desktop user doesn't install an operating system.
Okay, but for they the rest of us, I want to know if it's like easier or harder than like Gen 2 or something.
No, it's a really easy install, actually.
Okay. That's good. That's all you
have to say. It's a lot
you're
easier.
You're making me, you know, put
right.
the thumb
it's
screws
a lot
on him for information
than
here.
Gen 2. It's about on par with Slackware. It's about on... Do you know the hardest thing, again, is formatting your partitions.
Okay.
Now, one thing you got to know about Ubuntu is you don't set up a root account. It's kind of like the OS X style of operation where... If you want to make a system administration change, it asks you to put your password in before you'd be able to make a change like that. Right. So if you want to change hardware settings, add packages, it asks you to put in your password, which is the password for the user account you set up. So that's the way that
it's like a sudo kind of thing, right?
In a sense, yes.
Okay.
But you don't actually ever log in as root. You know, I stayed away from the command line in this install, which is straight through the GNOME Nautilus interface and everything. All right. So, my first task, I'm going to say, was want to see if I can connect to the internet and set up an email account. All right. Now, Yeah, it was really easy to connect to the internet because it had the DHCP here going. It had no problems, no hiccups or anything. You know, when you told the DHCP during the setup, that was good to go. So if you'd set this up for somebody who has a cable modem or something, no problem at all. DSL, really easy to set up. Fire up their browser, no problems. Firefox is the default browser on this. Evolution is the default email client. When I went to set up Evolution, I was used my Speakeasy account, since I rarely use that for anything other than Speakeasy maintenance messages that sometimes come down. So I decided to set that up. I followed the Evolution wizard, which was straightforward. Of course, Speakeasy didn't have a instruction guide for setting up Evolution. They had Netscape, Outlook, Eudora. I just followed the Eudora stuff. Read the directions. I pulled the information out for my the POP3 server I had to connect to, the SMTP server address, and then it asked me my account name. So all that stuff you generally get with your ISP for your to set up your email account through any other email application, you just plug it right into the Evolution wizard. When it came down to ask me what type of password it accepts, it probed it for me automatically, allowed me to put in my password. I like the time zone feature, which was nice. I've never really seen that in too many other mail clients, that it had a time zone feature, but I guess Evolution is gearing itself up to be more like groupware with a calendar integration and everything. So the time zone thing was really easy. I just chose, you know, I had the map of the world. I picked where I lived. You know, I got up to, I think, Philadelphia or New York, and that was it. Set itself up, and I was sending email. And, of course, I sent you guys an email to the tech show.
Yes, you did.
And you guys got that no problem. So setting up for the internet through cable or DSL, not a problem. Email, really simple. Now, I did do a modem setup also, and I'll get to that towards the end, because then I just basically went along with the DSL connection. My next step was to see if I can get my printers working. I had two printers, of course, at Lexmark Z23.
Right.
Which was the cheapo one when we were doing the LVCFK stuff. It was a $30 printer. See if you can get it working. It advertises on the box that it does work with Linux. Unfortunately, it requires proprietary binary-only drivers available from Lexmark.
Right.
And it's unless you're running an RPM-based distribution, I think it was Mandrake or Red Hat at the time, it's kind of kludgy to get this thing set up. So when I went through the configuration wizard for a printer control panel under system configuration, it didn't find the printer. It's a USB based printer. Didn't find it. Didn't have any of the drivers for it for that model. I chose, you know, models that were close to it, like the Z33 or the Z22, I think was an option. Mm-hmm. And none of those worked. It was kind of weird because I didn't know if it didn't work or not. It just never printed anything. So I popped in my LaserJet 4P, which is a parallel port base printer, which I know works. It works great with Slackware. I put it on there, and at first I had problems. It wouldn't recognize it, wouldn't find it, wouldn't print. So I said, well, why don't I just reboot and see what happens? So when I rebooted, I decided to quick pop into the setup just to see what the parallel port was set for, and it was set for PS2. That's what I say, a PS2 parallel port. It was set for PS2, so I set it to EPP. When I got back in the Ubuntu, it had found it automatically. I just had to go through and say which driver I wanted to use. It's verified the interface that it was on, and it set it up, ready to go, real easy. Only downside to this was when
it's
I went...
It's like a CUPS?
Set
the printer up?
I think it is CUPS, yes. Yeah. But it's not the CUPS interface. It's okay. Got its own little wizard. It's really simple. It's kind of like you bring up a window and it says there's a little icon that says Add Printer.
Okay.
You click on Add Printer and it usually auto detects it. Really simple. My biggest complaint though was when you go to print a test page, and I've seen this with all the other distributions too. No matter what printing system you want to use, they print out this graphic intensive test page.
Right.
And it just sat there for a long time, and I'm like, is it printing? Is it what's going on here?
Yeah, it really should just be like a text.
Yeah,
page.
And man, by the time it printed out, I looked on the little LCD display and it kept saying, you know, processing the graphics, and a few minutes later it finally came out. But when I went to OpenOffice, just typed some text into a window and printed that out, man, that printed like lightning and it was great. So printing,
was a snap to set up. Just about anybody, as long as it's a supported printer, which I would like to test a more recent model of something, but I don't have anything. So I figure, you know, HP printers, Epson printers are pretty well supported. Shouldn't have a problem hooking that sucker up there. In fact, it'll probably detect it. My next action was, what else would a desktop user would be? Well, using CD-ROMs and particularly playing audio CDs. So I plopped an audio CD in there, and nothing happened. Didn't know if it was going to bring up the CD player or what, but nothing happened. So I popped it out and put in a data CD, and sure enough, it auto-mounted the data CD right onto the desktop. A little icon came up, allowed me to browse the data CD. I ejected it. I put the audio CD in there, and I went to the applications menu under multimedia is a CD player. And when I clicked on that, man, that sucker fired up. Told me what the CD was in there because it queried the CDDB database. Told me the CD artist and the track, and I played it, and sound quality was just fine. Not a problem. So I said, well, all right, I could play audio CDs. Let's see about ripping a CD. It comes, standard is SoundJuicer, and, of course, just like ripping any other with any other application, it takes a really long time to rip a song.
Uh-huh.
So I ripped just one track off of there, and the playback quality for the AUG file, and it's AUG by default, was horrible. Okay? So I thought, well, maybe it was a disc. Put in another disc, same thing, it was horrible. So actually, I think there's a problem with the CD-ROM drive in there, which I wouldn't doubt it, because those machines that I used, it's an Optiplex G110, a Dell Optiplex 110. They've been pretty well used and abused. So I'm not saying that it was a crappy... it's the fault of the software. I think it's more the hardware. I'll have to do some more testing on another machine. So the ripping didn't work too well, didn't go over too well. So that's something that left me to be desired. All right. Now we get to the bread and butter stuff, like a digital camera. All right. Really interested to see how well this handled the digital camera. Now, I was really amazed the first time I used my flash reader device on the Ubuntu for the PPC. When I plugged it in and asked me if I wanted to import it. Yeah, import my files, my pictures. So I said, let's see what happens when I just plug the camera in. Well, unfortunately, nothing happened. Okay? Nothing came up, nothing happened. It kind of bummed me out, but I knew that I could get the pictures off with my flash reader. So I plugged the flash reader in, and sure enough, it came up and said, do you want to import your photos? So I said yes, and G-Thumb came up, and it allowed me to import my photos, copy them to my home directory, do whatever I wanted to with the photos. And then I noticed in the G-Thumb menu was an option, import from camera. So I said, wonder if I plugged the camera in, fired up G-Thumb, clicked import from camera, it auto-detected the camera, and pulled them right off the camera. So it will pull it right out of the camera. This is a Canon, I forget what the model is. It's a recent model. It's, you know, you can auto-mount it as a mass storage device. So it didn't, like the flash card reader, it didn't bring it up, the G-Thumb automatically. But in G-Thumb, because I happened upon seeing that option in there to import the camera, brought it in without a problem. So I started looking at G-Thumb, and I said, this is great, but I've always heard that it would be nice if there was a basic editing utility, something where they can, you know, crop pictures, change the size of the picture, scale it, do some basic stuff, maybe red eye reduction. Well, G-Thumb has a lot of that capability.
Really?
Yes, it does.
That's pretty cool.
Basic editing, I can crop the pictures, I can resize the pictures, it has a handful of filters. Now, of course, when you start messing around with filters, this is a little more advanced than the general user, desktop user might be accustomed to. So, you know, what it didn't have was like a red eye reduction feature that you might see in some applications. So weren't really able to do that kind of touch up, but some basic editing stuff, it's there. It's functional, it's usable, it's really easy. It was really really impressed that was actually there. Another nice thing that G-Thumb has is the ability to create a web album. So you can slap up, you know, get your pictures, choose the ones you want, select them, and create a nice little web album and slap it up on the web if you want to. I did that, and here's the link to the web album I put together, just some pictures from my daughter's birthday, to show you that it is doable, really simple, followed the wizard, and voila, I had a web album of, I think, 40 pictures in a matter of minutes. that's how long it took to, you know, because it generates thumbnails and stuff. So, right. In a few minutes. Now, what I thought could have been better with the web album is there's an option to add captions and stuff, but it's a little, it's not apparent. You know, you have to go into, like, the advanced features of it to edit the template, and then there's an option to say whether you want to include the caption and what you want to put in this caption. Because you can add in each picture, you can rename it, you can have the dates, you can add a little text file to it, like a comment to the picture, and all that stuff would appear on the web album. So I thought that the wizard could have been made it a little more apparent that you could actually include those options into your web album. All right, so digital camera, if it would have brought up G-Thumb when I plugged it in, that would have been great. It would have been perfect, but otherwise it worked flawlessly, did exactly what I wanted it to do, had some basic editing, all in one package right there, really solid. Again, like I said, it could have brought up G-Thumb when I plugged the camera in, but hey, we're getting there. We're getting there.
How difficult was it to find G-Thumb?
It's right there under graphics. You have
okay, so it's in a menu where someone actually might look for it if they weren't familiar with G-Thumb.
Right, and I'm going to get to that in just a few minutes about that. That's going to be the next thing I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. Scanner now. Always been a problem getting scanners to work with Linux. I have an Epson 610 scanner. I've been using it with Slackware for years. Of course, manual configuration. Sometimes it's been a little tricky with the new, every time they change the USB subsystem. But it works really well. So I came over here under Ubuntu. I plugged the scanner in. Now, of course, nothing really happened, which you don't really expect something to happen when you plug a scanner in.
Right.
But when I went under the graphics menu again, there's the Xane image scanning program. Okay, I fired that up. It detected the scanner without a problem. As soon as I brought it up, it was ready to go. I could do a preview. It was good. My only complaint, I'd say, with that is it started up in binary mode, not color. So if somebody would look at it, they might not realize that they should switch to color to get a full color scan in there. I had no problem scanning an image in, which you got to see this image. This is great. I scanned this image in. This is the an image from my daughter's little doll she bought at the dollar store. It's like the Princess of Fairy Tale Land. And this is the Beauty and Beast edition she bought. You got to see the picture of the Beast, man, because he looks wasted in this picture. He looks like a complete drunk, not a beast, just wasted. He's almost like Barney of the Simpsons. It's hilarious. I put the link up there on the chat. It's funny. So I scanned the picture in. I chose, you know, did the preview, chose just the region that I wanted to scan in, and saved it as a PNG. Now, my only complaint with the Xane was there's an option for OCR on there if you scan in a text document. Ubuntu does not include GOCR,
okay,
nor is it available on the Synaptic package menu. Now, this isn't I can't really fault Ubuntu for this because this is by default included in Xane, the Xane. So you got a little issue there. You know, it might be a little confusing as to how do you actually get the GOCR. Okay, so speaking of packages, Ubuntu uses a Synaptic Package Management System. All right, so I went into the computer there under System Configuration. There is Synaptic Package Manager. Brought that up and allowed me to search for packages. Now, if I knew what I was looking for, it was easier. It would have been nice if they would be able to group the packages, like, say, multimedia, graphics,
games. I think
you
can do that.
I did not see that option in there.
You can get that. There's a drop-down menu to change it to look by either alphabetically or by packages. I can't remember exactly.
I was looking in there. I didn't see.
I was say at least there is on the on the PPC version.
There's a filters option, but I did not see anything on here that would say that I can... And I thought I saw that at one time. I did. Alphabetical status sections. Yeah, there it is. How did I miss that? I might be wrong on there. Oh, man, I might be wrong on there. Well, if I am wrong on there, I'm wrong, and I apologize. I'll have to get back to that. But it was a little... It wasn't where I expected it to be as a desktop user.
Okay.
And whipping through there. But, you know,
And I'm going to get back to that in a minute, too, some of this stuff. Because this, a lot of my complaints are not the fault of the software, and I'll explain why in just a few seconds. Let me finish up with the hardware and stuff. With Synaptic, I grabbed Dia, which is the, if you ever use Dia, it's a tool for doing charts and diagrams.
Mm-hmm.
Clicked on the package that I want. Told it to install it a few seconds, minutes. And it wasn't even minutes. It was a few seconds later. Dropped it down, set it up. It was in my applications menu under, I think it was Office Tools. No. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong thing because I don't have it installed on this one. It was either under Office Tools or the Graphics. I forget which one it was. So I'm not in front of the machine. So then my final test was modems. I want to see if I can get a modem set up. I have a couple of WIN modems that were in there, PCI WIN modems, Lucent pieces of crap. I plugged that in, you know, rebooted the machine, and, of course, it didn't detect it, so it wasn't able to use it. I didn't expect
Imagine
it would.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a no-go. I have a 3COM external modem. No, I'm sorry, not a Zoom. Is it just Zoom?
I think it's just Zoom.
Just Zoom. Yeah. External modem. Plugged that puppy in the back in the serial port. Found it without a problem. I walked through the wizard for setting up the internet connection through PPP. Just asked me to put in my telephone number and username, password, and I clicked the activate button. It was all set up. Now, nothing happened, which was odd. I told it to activate it. Didn't seem like anything happened. When I closed the wizard, it automatically started up the modem and dialed out, connected, and I didn't have a problem, which was weird. But when I brought the wizard back up again and I deactivated and reactivated it, it started it up, you know, as I would expect from the wizard. But the first time, for some reason, it didn't do it. What I thought would be nice, it was really simple to set up the PPP, start it up, shut it down. It would have been nice if it had some kind of status meter somewhere on the machine that said, hey, you're still connected, or, you know, you've been connected for how long? Something like that. It would be nice. I did not see that anywhere when I started it up. So I actually had to go back to the network configuration menu to deactivate the PPP connection. All right. So a lot of my complaints here with Ubuntu have been mainly, as a desktop user, getting to know these applications right off the bat. And that's
getting to know you.
That's general for any
Ubuntu,
any piece of software, any operating system. You got to
sing along with me.
You got to learn the packages. You got to learn the software. So, you know, saying that, what would I be able to use to pull images off my camera? How would I be able to edit the images? What applications do I use? Where are they found? It's going to, you know, somebody's going to need a little bit of a tour of the Ubuntu system, a little brief explanation.
Yeah, but if you never sat down in front of a Windows box, you'd need the same type of tour.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's not just Ubuntu. It's any desktop operating system. Someone's going to have to, you know, you're going to have to do a little bit of reading.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's with any operating system. What I thought would have been nice is if on the desktop there would have been something like a My Computer icon, which would allow you to get to your home directory, or like a home directory icon or something. It's just a blank desktop. Nothing on it. Clean. It's nice that it's clean, but I think for somebody who's used to seeing, like, using OS X, or KDE.
So how do you work Nautilus if there's no icons on
there's no icon? Up at the top on the GNOME menu, there's two menus. One's application, one's computer. If you click on the computer, you have home, desktop, disks. If you click on the disks, it gets you to your disks.
Okay.
Network, you can browse. So it's in the menu at the top, but most people are used to seeing, like, an icon on the desktop.
Right.
What I thought was really confusing is when I use Firefox to download a file. Firefox, by default, was set to download to the desktop, only it didn't download to the desktop.
Never does, yeah.
It downloaded a home directory, which was confusing at first because I expected it to show up on the desktop, but it didn't.
Well, no, they always say download to desktop, and what they really mean is the home directory.
Right, and it that might confuse a person, okay, the first time that they use it. Now we're going to get into the real, real sticky territory. All right, this is the criticism and complaints that'll probably draw the most ire from the two fronts of the free and non-free software. All right. This is my biggest bone of contention. Now, I want to start off by say I respect the Free Software Foundation and their movements and their philosophies, and I agree a lot with what they say. But reviewing this as a general desktop user, okay, someone who you say, well, let's switch this person over to Linux. Let's get them running. Let's get the masses running Linux. What I noticed right off the bat was a lack in some key software programs that a general user would be looking for. First and foremost was Flash compatibility in the web browser. Flash was not installed, of course, and I don't know if you can install it legally. It's not free software. And it was not available to be installed through the Synaptic Package Manager, okay? Which means that you'd have to install it by following Macromedia's instructions. Now, I got to give credit where credit is due to Nautilus, all right? You download the Flash package, you go into the Nautilus in your home directory, you double-click on it, it extracts it for you. There's a little app, you know, the little shell file, you can click on that, it'll automatically run it. Ask you if you want to install it in your home directory. You just say yes. And it's pretty simple to install.
Okay.
But you have to go through the process. It's not like you can download a package. All right. MP3 support is not in here at all. And you're not going to find it in the general repositories for Ubuntu. It's non-free software, apparently. Okay. So
say it isn't so.
Right. So you're not going to get MP3 support, which is kind of frustrating because when you fire up Rhythmbox, which is the default media player here, XMMS is not in here. It won't play anything. Even like the streams that they have available as the default streams, you're not going to be able to play them because they're MP3. So if you want to get MP3 support, what you have to do is you have to find the repositories that have those Ubuntu or Debian packages. All right, you have to manually put those in there. As a desktop user, that might be a little difficult. Okay. Now you had asked whether what's the support like for movie files?
Right,
playing videos. Okay, again, going down the same path. QuickTime, Windows Media Files, you know, all that. No way, it's not going to play. Now you can get the codecs and manually install them, but you're not going to get a package to do that. Okay, so as a general desktop user, you're going to have to get somebody to set this up for you to be able to do that, probably.
Uh-huh. Okay. So what it is that you're getting at is this is another representation of
it's another one without pine.
Of the software Nazism that is what we call Debian, generally.
Yeah, and like I said, I respect the free software's point of view, and I can understand it. But
I can
also
respect
see
it, too, but, you know, if you give that stuff out there and you're running a Linux distribution that's supposed to be for, I mean, they're billing this whole thing for, you know, it's an easy desktop Linux for people to run.
Right.
Right? A non-technical distribution sort of thing.
Right.
And I think that's a wonderful idea, but to cripple it by being a dick about including support for things that everybody uses, like MP3 files, is really stupid.
And but, again, know, some of that stuff before, that though, they can't include, because you might not be able to include Flash.
I'm not saying that they have to include it. What I'm saying is that if they do not want to include it by default, they should make a very easy avenue for someone to put it on there themselves. You know? You don't have to, like, include it in the binary packages or whatever, but boy, oh boy, you know, there ought to be a built-in web page with a link about how to get your MP3 files working on Ubuntu or something like that right when you start the damn thing up.
Now, there is, that is there. When you first start up Ubuntu, you fire up your web browser, it takes you right to the Ubuntu page, and it tells you, you know, there's guides on there, how-tos and stuff, and you can read it. But then again, what I'm saying is, I think a new user or a general desktop user would be a little confused and put off by having to do that. All right, because I'm saying that, you know, these type of people might also be put off by having to do that in Windows too,
sure,
or
sure,
OS 10.
Sure.
But the thing is, with Windows or OS 10, it's already built in there, and it's non-free software, and I can see why. That's included in the price you pay.
Yeah, but I can see like both ends of this, right? Because like if you do a full Slackware install, which is not hard, you know what I mean? Like there's four menu items you got to hit. Configure your keyboard, pick what drive you want it installed on, pick full install, it's done. When you do a full Slackware install and you log in the first time, XMMS has support for MP3 files. Maybe Fedora doesn't.
I remember Red Hat pulling that off long ago. A lot of that stuff out. Yeah. Flash is not in Fedora.
Slackware does for sure. What else does for sure? Debian always has problems with non-free software.
Mandrake.
Yeah, Mandrake, I'm sure.
I think SUSE has all that.
SUSE, I'm sure, has MP3 support. So what's the hang-up with Debian, other than the fact that they're...
It's non-free software.
So it's just... I'm going to be a dick about this stuff, right?
But you know, and you know what I want to say.
I have to play the devil's advocate on this because I think if you're gonna bill yourself out as a really easy distribution for beginning Linux users or a beginner's Linux desktop, that you know they should make every avenue to get standard sort of things available. And you know,
I don't know if they can legally do that, but they do have the documentation on their website to walk you through doing that. Now, a lot of those criticisms might make it sound like, you know, I've been harsh on Ubuntu, but as a desktop
user,
you're
just a meanie.
Yeah, I'm just a meanie. What I want to say is I thought Ubuntu was rock solid, fabulous distribution, and you know, with regards to that stuff like Flash or the video codecs, this would be the ideal system if you wanted to give to somebody to use. You're, of course, probably going to be setting it up for them that, you know, you'd be able to just drop that stuff in there in a couple of minutes.
Sure.
Knowing how to do that. And they would have a system where if they went out and bought a scanner or bought a printer, chances are, or if they had one already, a scanner printer, you're not going to have to do any configuration. You're not going to have to answer calls, hey, what do I do when I put a CD-ROM in here? How come it doesn't work? Yeah. You're not going to get those calls because, you know, just like Lug Radio said, this is Debian done right. I mean, this is Linux really done right. This is a great, fantastic job that they did. I mean, I thought it got A's across the board on just about all the hardware, except for... you know, some of those quirks, which I'm not sure are related to Ubuntu. It was probably the hardware I was using it on being old and beat up.
So let me ask you this. Being that we've already established that the average desktop user does not install their own operating system. So we kind of nailed that down like, you know, someone's probably going to install this on their computer. That someone being most likely, you know, one of us or someone who's listening to the show. How long does it take for a default install?
Default install of Ubuntu?
Ballpark it.
About a half an hour, 45 minutes. Now, that includes...
Unattended, or is this a real manual?
Primarily, you answer a few questions, and then it's unattended. Now, the second stage, after it installs the base, second stage goes through and asks you whether you want to check for any updates.
Okay.
And when you say yes, of course, that took the longest to go out and download all the updates. And then it said, do you want to connect, set up your network? You're using DHCP, hit yes. You know, what's your username? And you're good to go.
Okay.
So it's really, really minimal installation steps, really simple. You had the choice of whether you wanted to partition manually or just have it done automatically.
All right, now how about speed?
It rocks. It's really snappy, really fast.
Because I know that I'm sure that you have had previously at least one or two incarnations of Windows on that computer you were using Ubuntu on.
You know what? I was not impaired at all speed-wise. It ran. It was snappy. It was fast.
Faster than normal Windows install?
Faster than a normal Windows install? Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
Light years.
How about...
Just general usage-wise, it was really fast.
How about in comparison to other versions of Linux that you may be familiar with?
I thought for running GNOME on a P3, that system right there, it ran pretty well. I'd say, you know, it's getting close to about running, like, Slackware style.
Cool.
And like I said...
Where you'll be switching.
Huh?
No. Oh, well, you'd be switching. No, he's just...
No. No. This, I mean, I like Ubuntu. I think it's great. I'm a Slackware user. I prefer that. I like that level of control over Slackware. I think Ubuntu, if I were to set up a machine for anybody else, I would set them up with Ubuntu. Because, you know, it's just well put together, well integrated, easy to use distribution. And again, when I say easy to use, of course, what I mean is somebody who's going to sit down and take the time to do a little bit of reading up or looking into, hey, what exactly are these applications on here and how do I use them?
Right.
You know, just getting some basic information. I really like it a lot. I think as a PPC distribution, Ubuntu is my choice. Because it's really, it was the only one that set it up perfectly to the way I like to use it. I like the fact that the Nautilus, GNOME with Nautilus and the integration that it has in there is pretty nice. To be able to like click on the calendar and you can schedule stuff in your calendar and it goes automatically into Evolution. That just that all that packaged together seems to fit perfectly. The administration for the hardware and software is pretty logically set up and easy to use. Someone who would want to have to do anything, you know, manage that stuff, they could look in here in a few minutes, be able to do whatever they need to do, I think, with some training, of
course.
Great.
And just as a quick addition, we've been talking about Ubuntu on and off for a couple weeks now. And Adam York sent me an email this week with the URL for a really, really good, and I've looked this over, even though I haven't done a full install of Ubuntu yet even, he sent me a really, really nice install guide for Ubuntu. Install usage starter guide is what it's called. Anyway, you want to go to, and I've already put this in the IRC chat. It's http://ubuntuguide.org. UBUNTUGUIDE.org. And it has a nice little unofficial Ubuntu 4.0 starter guide. Just looking through it again, boy, it's got all kinds of stuff in it, you know, but stuff on how to get, you know, your multimedia and real player and your MP3 files working and all kinds of stuff. Really nice little quickie how-to on getting your Ubuntu distribution going. And I am going to be playing, hopefully, I'm going to try and play this upcoming week with Ubuntu in a server capacity.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Now, my next step, what I would like to do is I would like to install Ubuntu on my main workstation as a secondary OS and then have my wife repeat all these steps that I did to say, you know, hey, you know, just use this for a little bit. Or maybe I'll install it on the laptop for her and say, you know, set this all up yourself.
Yeah,
see if you can do it. I want to give your opinion because she's used Windows, Mac OS, and I think 7 up to 10.
Uh-huh.
And she's used Slackware with ICE, Window Maker, or KDE. She's used all that. I want to see if she, you know, how she operates with this. So she's, you know, more advanced desktop user than most people might, you know, general user. But just to get her opinion, see how it falls with her.
Cool.
I
would be interested. I'm sure other people would too, but I would be interested to see what she thinks about it. I would be even more interested if we could get her on the mic live and harass her about it when we ask her.
There we go. So, do we want to start taking phone calls?
Sure.
We got like 10 minutes.
We ran a little over this week.
10 minutes for it. Well, we had some actual Linux content.
The only person on right now is Andrew Crofton. Yeah, I'm not going to.
Andrew is Exodix. No. Right?
Yes.
Andrew, call us.
Phone lines are open.
I know you've been dying to.
Phone lines are open. Call now.
Yeah, that's right.
But definitely, Ubuntu gets 2 thumbs up in my book.
Good. Good. He's the only one on.
I'll call him.
Ubuntu. Hello.
Hello.
All right, am I in?
Hey.
Yeah, you're here.
All right.
Can you hear us all right?
Yeah, you're a little quiet, but I'll just turn you up.
Cool.
How's school?
Oh, geez. You don't have to spike it that much. All right. Yeah, it's good.
Maybe I shouldn't yell into the microphone.
Little hectic.
I was going to say, Dan shouldn't yell into the microphone while
Stop beating into the ground. What are you doing?
Is it too loud?
Yeah, you're good. Chill. That's good.
Okay. Since we never
I know you're talking.
We never set anything up beforehand here.
Yeah, I know you always try and screw up the Skype stuff.
Well, we're getting better at it, I think.
We just roll with it as we go along, that's all.
Yeah. I know you were talking about the Flash before on the Ubuntu, and I know with Flash 7 I read the user agreement, and it said that it's like illegal to redistribute, so that's probably a major reason why a lot of the distros don't have it packaged along with it.
I can understand that. I can see why that would be a block to packaging with it.
Sure.
Yeah, when I put in Firefox 1.0 and I went to a site that needed Flash, Firefox popped up with a little thing saying, you know, you need a plugin. Do you want to install the plugin? And I said, yeah, and it popped it in, you know, just perfectly without having to do the Flash install at all.
Yeah,
it was really nice.
I noticed that on an install the other day because I hadn't, you know,
was that the Linux
Flash
version too?
Yeah.
It'll install.
Yeah, it almost brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I've
exactly.
seen that on
it was
Windows.
A beautiful
I didn't
thing.
Try
yeah.
that on. On
yeah.
That. Oh no, it was gorgeous, and it you know didn't require you to reboot the browser or anything. You just click the button, and it said, "Okay, it works," and you know you can go back to the website and.
Wow.
Bling. And it
now,
was
why
really,
didn't I try that?
It was really
why didn't
wonderful.
I just automatically throw my hands up in the air
See,
and say, ah,
now that's,
screw it.
I've been
I
doing that,
do
too.
It.
I've been
I
going.
Do
I actually go to the Macromedia site and download the damn plugin.
Right.
And the other day, I was sitting on a different computer, and it came up with the thing, and I said, I'll click the button and see what happens. And yeah, like you said, it was beautiful. It brings a tear to your eye, man.
I'm going
to
try that out there.
It was pretty cool.
Andrew, thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, and as Dan was mentioning a couple of minutes ago, he was talking about how people probably won't be able to install an OS no matter how easy it is unless it installs by itself. And talking to a lot of the people around here and listening to the kids on the bus and that, some of them can barely even you know move their mouse or have Windows install patches, let alone install even a three-step
like
distro.
Yeah.
It's not just
fact,
the kids. They grow up, too, and then you got to work with
them. A couple of the people in my room right now thought that memory and hard drives were the same thing.
You know
so
what?
That's the type of people you have to deal with.
I was going to mention that the other day at our LUG meeting yesterday, and I know a lot of people like that really get confused between you know RAM and their size of their hard drive. They have no concept at all. My father-in-law continually calls you know his hard drive. He's got... He says he's got, you know, 120 meg or something like that. It's pretty good. But, you know, what are you going to do? I still think that instead of allowing people to, you know, use computers freely, that they should license them. But that's just me.
I did some work for a guy who continuously called CD-ROMs and DVD-ROMs ROMs. So he'd be like, I got these ROMs. I got these ROMs, man. I was out there. I picked up this ROM. You got to check out the case. And came like, what are you talking about? Talking about like...
Dan's like thinking he's got
a
MAME.
You running MAME or something here? What's up?
It's a read-only media.
A ROM.
Get a ROM.
The Space Knight? I'm sorry, Andy. Keep going MAME. There, man. It's all you.
That's fine. You can go off on your rant.
Speaking of, we haven't heard of Dan's rant in a while.
Yeah, well,
what's up
you know,
with that?
This the Prince of Persia, Resident Evil 4 just came out yesterday. You know, kind of taking up some of my time.
It's taking till sunrise on you, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough with the wife working and be able to get in here to do anything on the machines.
And still have time for his TiVo and playing his 18 hours of Nintendo or Xbox a day. Boy, I can't stand it. You know what was tough for me today? I found out once again how addicted to information I really am. Because my my provider went out at like 6:45 this morning. They dropped off. My DSL dropped off and didn't come back on until almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Dang, that sucks for you.
Oh, man, that's tough. Because I'm, you know, I'm totally addicted to getting... I have like 18 email accounts. I'm totally addicted to getting my email during the day. Keeps me sane, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the same old people talking about the same old crap. I get different things here and there.
I noticed you were a little frazzled when you came in.
Oh, man. Not only that, but, you know, I can't, like... I was worried that when I got home, I wouldn't be able to, you know, hit the web and browse around and try and get some stuff ready for the show, too. And that was bugging the hell out of me. So it was just that's a bad thing. Now, I do want to mention that my ISP is Verizon. Okay.
Yay.
And everybody, you know, there's a lot of people that complain about Verizon. And even though they did go out for a very long time today, this is the third time that I've ever had a problem with Verizon in like over a year. So that's still pretty good.
I wish I could have that track record with Comcast.
No, I've dealt with Comcast before at work, and they're not my favorite provider. They're probably not even close to being second to last.
Well, I was telling Dan earlier, I couldn't get my email last night. And I figured with the storm we had, maybe something went funky in RCN. So I let it go. Get home today, try it again. Can't get it. So I call them up there. They changed my account on it. Instead of my normal login, they changed it to my full name. I was like, why? Well, we don't know why. This was done in November. I'm like, it couldn't have been. I said, I've been on for, you know, since November on it. So... And once again, RCN strikes again.
Randomly changed your... I told you to go with Verizon when you moved over there, man.
Well...
I'm telling you. However, you know, you got faster connection now with RCN. Because you got a cable modem, right? Two-way
cable?
Yeah,
it's now two-way, so...
So your connection is faster
I'm normal
than mine.
Now.
Your connection is a lot faster than mine. However, I personally believe that, you know, you're not sharing your bandwidth on a DSL line. Number one. And number two...
Well, you are when it gets back to the head unit.
Well...
When it gets back to the switch, you are.
When it gets back to the switch. But, you know, number two, you're... You know, the track record is just better.
Well, with RCN, yeah.
Yeah.
Although, knock on, you know, the wooden desk here, it's been good so far, with the exception of that little blurp with my email. But, I mean, the net connection stayed up. I was able to still... surfing everything, but
yeah,
just screwed up my email account.
Yeah,
how's your connection in Georgia?
That's a T1 or whatever they have, multiple T3s. I don't know what it is. It's actually a lot faster than last quarter, which I'm impressed. I can actually play games online now.
Is that because they got a lot of new people in that just started that are stupid, or you know?
I don't know. There's a lot of stupid computer users here. I'll find all kinds of things shared on the network. It's just scary.
They changed their file sharing policies or something like that
to the whole C drive and all kinds of stuff. It's horrible.
Find anything good?
Hey, I found some guy had like illegal ROMs and stuff he had shared, and it was fun.
It's bad.
Yeah.
And that's
so
the way.
Hopefully the Krauthammel family will be completely switched over to Linux soon, with the exception of my sister for the Barbie games, because my mom's going to be switching to Zandris, hopefully, since my dad's addicted to that.
Now, you know what about those Barbie games? Don't give up. They might run under Wine. McDonald's has...
Some of them are some really old DOS things, and they barely
DOS
run
box.
On Windows 98.
DOS Box.
It's
we
pretty
just
bad.
McDonald's about that in our meeting last night.
McDonald's has given away Lizzie McGuire CDs that run on Windows or OS 10. I got it to run under a Linux and Wine yesterday. So, you know,
so
don't
that's
give
what
up
I caught hope. You doing over on your computer there.
Oh,
there.
You got me. Yeah, McGuire CD. But yeah, I started playing around with DOSBox last night, and I got some old applications to run.
Cool.
So yeah, definitely check it out there, Andy. DOS box
yeah,
or
we'll try. She has like 300 games, though, so.
Well,
you've got a little bit of a project in front of you.
How old is she?
A lot of work with Wine, yeah. So, you know, if we can't switch her, we at least get three-quarters of the family.
How old is she?
She's 10. I think 11.
Switch her over to OS 10.
Just put her on a Linux box and install Frozen Bubble. You'll never have to put another game on there ever.
Yeah.
Now, what's all this anti-Gen 2 I'm hearing about on the forums and chat room and everything?
I think Gen 2 is awesome if you don't have to install it. I just,
I got an entire system set up overnight from Scratch to GNOME overnight.
That's,
I don't see what the big problem
that's
is.
That's awesome. I will fly you out here. If you can do that, if you absolutely promise you can do that, I will fly you out here and bring you to my house and hand you my blue and white G3 Macintosh. So you can get a system running on that overnight, because I'll tell you what, it took me 4 days.
4 days.
And that wasn't even getting X running, man. And that was on a stage 3 install. It's
okay.
Just insane.
Yeah. Well, it's processor dependent too.
Well, oh yeah.
Just a bit.
Oh yeah, processor dependent too.
Well, fine. We can use the precompiled ones if you want.
I did, man. I used a stage 3 install. It was still four days.
If you want to be technical about it.
But no, seriously, like, if you have a really fast computer...
Be technical. How many overnights was it?
Yeah. If you have a really fast computer, I can see where Gentoo might be a really, you know, fun and nifty thing to do with the evening. However, for those of us who aren't rich and have an average computer, like, I got to work the next day, and I simply don't have the time. You know what I mean? I don't have the...
Well,
if I need my computer to do stuff...
The only reason I have a fancy computer is because I had to slave away for Dan all summer.
There you go. But, you know, I just don't have the time
slave
to, like...
driver.
Yeah.
Just don't have the time to
my
do
fancy
the stuff. Don't have the time to have my... Even though I have multiple computers in my house, I still don't have the time to have one down and not working for a number of days or whatever it takes. But not that it's bad. There's some things that irritate me about Gentoo more than the compile time. That would be like the Etsy stuff that it does. You know, you install a few packages and all of a sudden it starts barking at you about you need to update your Etsy files or something like that.
Yeah, Etsy update.
That's kind of a pain in the butt. Other than that, you know,
I used to have
it
automatically
like
update those, and I found out that was a really bad idea. I let it auto-merge, like, all the time, and then one day it finally destroyed the computer.
Does it just overwrite your Etsy files? Is that what it's doing?
What was that?
Does it just overwrite your files?
Yeah, like, at one point, I don't know what it did. It you know, barfed on me and, like, deleted, like, all of the Etsy files. It was really scary.
That's bad.
Yeah, that was bad news that day. Got a fresh install, though.
Yeah,
that's one way to get it.
There's a positive side to everything.
No kidding. All right, folks. I think this is, we're at...
It's 10.
We're 10 o'clock, man.
Anything else, Andy?
No, I think that's it. I'm glad the Georgia connection worked then, so that's good.
Oh, it sounds really good, man.
I'm glad it worked, too. Good to hear you again.
All right, time to... do some bunch of updates.
Yeah.
Compile away.
Yeah,
all right, see you guys.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Yep.
Is anybody else calling in? Or?
No, anybody else? 10 o'clock. Next time. Since Ellen and I have to be up to work in the morning.
Yes.
In the morning. Yeah, listen, guys. If you want to call in and talk with us on Skype, please... During the show, at some point, you have Skype running during the show, right?
Like all during before the show, yeah.
Okay. Please, at some time during the show, before we normally
just
start taking the calls, I am us, and tell us that you want us to, you know,
through
you
Skype. Want to
call us.
I am us.
Yeah,
through
I am us
Skype.
Through Skype. Tell us you want to do the thing, and we'll line you right up. Okay. So keep that in mind.
Because if we have multiples,
week.
We'll try to put a conference call together.
That's right. And then we can all get together and just, you know, curse out Dan because he's got smelly farts or something. But on that note, it's 10 o'clock, which is closing time on our normal, regularly scheduled show.
Dun, dun, dun.
So thank you very much for listening to the Linux Link Tech Show on this Wednesday, November 12th, 2005, episode 66. Please join us next week, Wednesday at 8:30 again, for episode 67, which we will be talking about something else.
something else that we'll figure out 5 minutes before
something
the show.
Else, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll, you know, like I said before, hopefully we'll be able to talk about installing some server packages on Ubuntu. So, you know, I was thinking, because it's such a nice, light distribution, that might be just a thing, you know. get that on there and stick it Apache on or something. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I didn't say it was a light distribution.
Shut up. I wasn't asking you. There, Fartmeister.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Hey, new Lug Radio's coming out, I think, within the week.
Yeah, that's it should be, yeah.
They said, was it? Is it the 17th?
Monday.
I'm still behind on the 6th. I got to get the 6th. Yeah, the last show still. I have it downloaded. I keep forgetting to listen to it.
Just be in your podcast. In your Bash Potter.
Well, it is now, but I downloaded the
other one. He says. All right. Anyway. Thanks very much, people, for listening. We're going to...
Thank you.
Catch up with you next week. Enjoy.
Maybe we'll get on... what is it? Hacker Radio.
There you go. Yeah.
You can get that going this week.
Something like that. Here's something. Oh, there he is cracking another... Whoa! That's just horrible, man.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I'm Link.
I'm Dan.
That was cool. You guys right at the same time.
Good night.
Thanks for listening.
The Linux Link Tech Show.
Linux Link Tech Show.